Welcome to the Relationship Recovery Podcast, hosted by Jessica Knight, a certified life coach who specializes in narcissistic and emotional abuse. This podcast is intended to help you identify manipulative and abusive behavior, set boundaries with yourself and others, and heal the relationship with yourself so you can learn to love in a healthy way.
Hello, and as always, thank you so much for being here. If you are here, you know that I typically say something along the lines of, you can follow me here, and just a reminder, you can do this here. But for today, all I'm going to tell you is that Christina Pierce has a GoFundMe. And if you're listening to this episode and you have $1 to give, please type Christina Pierce GoFundMe into Google and go donate that $1. Obviously, if you have more to donate, please donate. She cannot post anything. She cannot ask for the funding. And if you were in her place, you wouldn't be working either, because it would be almost nearly impossible. Like, how could you work and stay focused at a job while your babies are not with you? I'd be inconsolable all of the time, honestly. So please go and donate. She cannot ask for support. But if you have the money, please go and donate. I posted on Instagram the other day that literally, if everybody who follows me on Instagram donated $1, Christina would have $10,000. And that's 10 parenting days with her kids. That's the level that things are at right now. So I will post the link in the show notes. I'll post her Instagram in the show notes. So that being said, when Christina Pierce was on our podcast, the episode did get a lot of feedback. I think I got more comments directly to me, like Instagram DMs, emails, things like that, from that episode. And Christina, a lot has changed since then, but also not a lot has changed. And I think that that's what's important about this, is that everybody that listened, I must have gotten like 20 something DMs that day of the day that she had court back in February that was like, where's Christina? I haven't heard from Christina. She hasn't posted. Oh my God, all her social media stuff is down. Like, that is where things were. And to be completely honest, not much has changed. She still doesn't have her kids. Back in February, after that hearing, they ordered supervision. The court ordered supervision. She did tell me that there was a lot of people in the room. Clearly eyes were on the case at that point. But in February, the hearing ordered supervised visits so that she had to pay a supervisor, and she needs to pay $1,000 a week. So she has to pay $1,000 a week to have supervised visitation with her kids. And now if you're like, wait, what? Go listen to the episode that I did with her that will also be tagged in the show notes. And I want you to go and I want you to listen. I want you to ask yourself, excuse my French, how the fuck does a mother, no abuse, no neglect, no DCF, nothing, not one person could say something bad about this mother, not even like, oh, she does too much of what, I don't even know, nothing. Now she has supervised visitation. In addition, they removed her child support that she was getting from her ex-husband. And so how does anybody pay that? $1,000 a week for supervised visitation. There are guidelines that are supposed to be followed in order for somebody to order supervised visitation. Abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, etc. None of those are relevant in this case. Not one of those are relevant in this case. The kids clearly miss their mom. And I couldn't imagine how it feels to be Christina at this point and have so many moments of uncertainty about her children that were with her all of the time. And as this has gone on, I'm sure the kids are even more and more confused, because as we all know, we don't ever want to put kids in the middle, right? We don't want to tell them exactly what's going on, especially in a case like this where she's already lost her parental rights. Like, she's not going to go and say, this is what happened to your kids. And one, wouldn't be good for the case, but more so, it wouldn't be good for her kids. to hear that. But how long can you go on and say mom and dad are working hard to figure it out, but then nothing changes? But then nothing changes. The records are now sealed. So in Massachusetts, you typically can go on a court website and pull some basic things off the website. And so, you know, you can see the next dates, you can see things like this. And when I interviewed Christina, I don't remember if this is on the episode or if I said it to her before, but there was like a million things on there. Like, I was just like, what the hell is all of this? I think it may have been when I talked to her before we started recording, but like, so nothing is there. Nothing is there now because the case has now been sealed, meaning that the records are now private. So if you're following, she's been silenced. And so the only thing that she can do, which she was and I believe still is determined not to actually be silenced, but I believe what's happening is that the other side is doing everything they can to silence her as much as possible so she doesn't continue to speak about the, this is probably, we're probably in illegal territory at this point about what is actually going on, especially in, and I've said this before, a state that is supposed to be progressive, like Massachusetts, it's supposed to be liberal. It's supposed to be a state where this stuff doesn't happen, but it's happening. It is happening. And Christina will probably be the first to tell you that she is not alone in this. There are many, many women, but she was one that spoke about it and now is being silenced. And so the amount of knowledge that I have about what's going on is pretty minimal. I will not put Christina in any place that would jeopardize her, so I don't ask questions. I don't want anything in the world to get in the middle of her and her case and her kids, because again, it's just, it breaks my heart that there are abusers, drug addicts, neglectful, incompetent parents who don't have supervised visitation, who need supervised visitation, whose supervised visitation would likely help them be a better parent, where the kids would be safe. But a mother who is extremely present and finds a way to get $1,000 every week to see her kids because that's the only thing that matters to her in the entire world, doesn't. There was another court date in April, and I believe that's when the records got sealed because it seems like it happened after that. I just know that one day I went on and was like, okay, I'm going to prep for this episode. I will do that tomorrow. And the next day it was sealed. So, and I reached out to her like, where is your thing? And she just said it's sealed. So that's it. She's silenced. She can't post the GoFundMe. So that's why I did and I have and I will continue to do it. And I believe that, again, if you are listening to this and if you have one singular dollar, please donate. If you have $10, please donate. You're giving a mother a week with their kids. For less than what you would pay for Dunkin' Donuts, you're giving a mother a week with her kids. There is now a GAL on this case, a guardian ad litem. And the GAL is the same person who does supervision at the center. And now if every supervisor thinks everything is going great and all parenting is appropriate, why is she still required to pay $1,000 a week, right? Now, this happened in February, right? That's when this all started. Today's April 29th when I'm recording this. And so it's probably going to be out in about 2 weeks. So that will be May. So that will be, let's see, 3 months. If in 3 months there's a supervisor watching all your parenting time, and if her ex's claims that she was doing X, Y, and Z are not substantiated by the evidence that they now have from 3 months of supervised visitation, imagine if, like in a regular GAL investigation, there was 3 months of supervised visitation every single week. Like that's more evidence than a 6 month GAL investigation would have on how the actual parenting is with the children, because a GAL typically doesn't spend that much time with the kid. They typically spend a few hours at max, right? So it's the amount of actual evidence they have is not enough. But I have to imagine, like, again, I'm not in the courtroom and I can't see the documents because the record is sealed. Even if I could see the documents, I would just be reading somebody else's claims. But what is that for their credibility? Like, what is that for the credibility of the other side? Does the other side have 3 months of supervised visitation? Does the other side have 3 months worth of evidence? Like, what I don't get sitting where I sit is how this makes any sense, because the damage that is being done for children at a young age to not be with their mother, who they were with every day, who was an active member of their school, who was brought to all their activities. If you listen to Christina's podcast that we did, like, she was so social. She was probably 10 times more social than I ever will be, and did all of these events with all of these kids, and, like, you know, always had an open door policy to other people, and, like, wanted her kids to be with others. It's like, they always had play dates. They always had stuff. It's for all that just to stop. And for the kids to likely be confused, to only see their mom through a Zoom. And I'm just like, I want to know where the credibility is on the other side. I don't understand. And I don't know. I believe. I'm like, so I believe that Christina can't talk about it. From my interpretation, she can't talk about it. And so they've also effectively silenced her. And you know what? If seeing my kid, singular, was on the line, as much as I would want to speak out, I would wait and I'd speak at another time, because all I would care about is whatever the fuck I need to do in order to get my kid back. So while she may be silent on the outside, I feel like there is a giant roar on the inside, and she's still likely being loud in whatever area she can be. And now, you know, I think what this all goes back to is that there is an abuse claim. She went down the proper channels. She went to the police. She did all the things that she needed to do, that we're told to do, that we would tell our kids to do if they were being hurt. You go, you tell this person, you ask for this, you ask, Where is the evidence or the supervision on the other side to say that she's wrong? That anything she said was wrong. It's not. So if kids refuse a dad for whatever reason, and I mean, this goes for moms too, right? There are safe dads there in the world, but, like, this case is the case of a mom who lost her kids, right? So we need to, I'm going to use those words, and I don't care if you want to blow me up on social media about how I was defending a mom. There's dads too. I fucking get it. I hear it all the fucking time. I know there are women abusers too, but, like, I'm talking about a specific mother here and a specific dad. I don't know the dad. I don't know him from, like, any man on the street. All I know is that I haven't seen one piece of evidence in anything that was posted before the records were sealed to say that what their child reported wasn't true. But what I do know is true is that a mother was blamed for the words of a child, and the worst offense that she ever did was that was her fault, that they refused dad, or a child refused dad in some way, and that's all her fault. But where's the evidence for that? Is there evidence for anything? Like, we hear this all the time, that if a child refuses someone, it must be the mom, it must be this, it must be that. It just makes me wonder, like, are you never around a child? Because, like, children make up their own minds. Children have their own words. Children have their own feelings. Children are empathetic. Children are intuitive. It's our job to, like, listen and hear them. And, like, I don't think at all that this is a mother that wanted to take their dad away. I think this is a mother that wanted to protect her children from abuse. And that was it. But she's blamed. And this is what the system has created. And we know women all across America that are dealing with this. And I'm probably, I mean, should have said all across the world. And so we have laws coming out in other states that recognize coercive control. But why aren't we recognizing it here? Because no responsibility was placed on dad or is ever placed on dad for their own relationship. And again, we're talking about a mom who, we're talking about a specific mom here. The opposite is true. It's absolutely true that there are abusive women who hurt their kids and the kids prefer dad and dad is safe and they want to be with dad and the court orders them away. That absolutely freaking happens. But where is the responsibility on the other parent for their own relationship? My relationship with my daughter personally is my relationship with my daughter. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be cared for. It's constantly evolving. And there's nothing more important to me in the entire world than that. I don't understand the narrative of that if a child begins to favor another parent, which honestly, in a two-parent household, is completely freaking normal, right? Kids play one parent off the other all the time. They prefer one over the other. One may feel more safe. You know, it just could be a preference. Like there's so many things. But why is it Christina's fault? Is the question. Because if you sit in a courtroom, you'll see people that are clearly telling lies to sever their relationship with the other parent. If you've been in this position, you easily can see when it's a lie. Because you're like, what? That person is basing it off of like a fairy tale where it's like this other person has a lot of evidence. Before the record was sealed, I didn't see any evidence. And now I can't talk about it and I can't talk about the specifics because one, I don't want Christina to face any backlash, of course. But two, I didn't save it. So I don't want to ever paraphrase anything. I'm a super literal person. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence for any of the father's claims that are severing the relationship with their mother? And now months and months and months have gone by and mother's argument isn't heard and father's argument doesn't really have evidence. Why is mother still fighting for time with her own children? There have been a lot of things missed, including like children's routines, their activities. I know her daughter was in Girl Scouts because we talked about it. A whole, like the last year at school, you know, like this started in January. So it's been almost half a year. School events and play dates and times that they're never able to get back. And so, you know, it doesn't go without notice that these lives, they were abruptly changed. Without any evidence. But now the courtroom is going to be closed and the docket is sealed. And I have to imagine that somebody who spoke so courageously about her story was coerced into signing something to seal those records. And now the clearer way to say that is she was forced to do it because we all know that when you sign a stipulation that you weren't planning on and that you don't want, but it might get you one more minute of time with your kids, you're going to do it. You know, and so now that it's closed, the last date, I believe, was at the beginning of April. So now, like I said, we're at the end of April. I feel like we would be seeing different pictures on Christina's social media if this was righted. Like, so if this all turned around, I think we'd be hearing about it. We may not ever be able to hear the full story. We may not ever know what was in the records. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter because I'm not here for the drama and you shouldn't be here either for that. You should be here for wanting to know if this woman has gotten her kids back. And right now the answer is no, because I have to believe that we would see it. It would be clear. It would be clear on social media. We'd hear it through the grapevine. You know, Christina has a lot of friends and she's very well connected in Boston. I imagine we would know, we would see it. We'd all be shouting from the freaking rooftops because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And so again, if you have $1 that you can post, that you can contribute, it will make a difference because the legal bills that Christina has faced, I have to imagine she's far over 50K right now, just this year. It has to be more than that. So imagine that. And she's not going to stop fighting. And I know that. But before I end, I want to say something that's important. So all of the knowledge that I have of this has been collected from various social media posts. I've been wanting to do an update for a while because a lot of you have asked for it. You've reached out. You've wondered how she's doing. You've noticed the change. You want to know how she is. This is coming from my voice, not Christina's. And if I got anything wrong, I will right my wrongs. I don't think I did, but if I did, I will right the wrongs. And I got to this point in the last episode that I did with her when I was recording the intro and the outro. It hits me every time because it's so sad. It is so sad. Like, I can't think of anything sadder. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare that I wish she didn't have to live. And I wish that this episode was about how her and her kids are doing and like where things landed. And I want so deeply, you know, for this to end okay and for everyone to be okay. For Christina, for her kids. I'm sure her biggest dream right now is to sit on the couch and watch a Disney movie with them in pajamas. So for the 100th time, if you can donate, please donate to her GoFundMe. Go on Google, type in GoFundMe Christina Pierce. Use the link in the show notes. Follow her on Instagram. The best thing you could support her is not telling somebody about this story. It's telling you about the story and telling them to contribute to the GoFundMe right now. That's what's going to support her, because that's what's going to help her see her kids. And that's really, I'm sure, is the most important thing in the world to her right now. As always, you can follow me at Emotional Abuse Coach on Instagram, emotionalabusecoach.com. You can email me at jessica@jessicanightcoaching.com. And I do work on high conflict divorce. That's on a separate website. It's high-conflictdivorcecoach.com. But you can reach out to me through all of those other platforms. Thank you for listening. And it's always so hard to end this episode. Wait, because it's just feels like after I do it, it's like my heart feels broken because I could not fucking imagine. I couldn't imagine. And I wish that this wasn't the state of the world more than I wish for anything else. Thank you for listening.